I am so not used to wearing a suit in this service. And I am hot. Somebody turn the air on in this place. But so it's Easter. I'm going to be honest with you, though. This year, this season of Lent leading up to today, I have found it harder to focus. And I found it harder to prepare for this day than I think ever before in my entire ministry. I don't know exactly what it is, but the past couple months I have felt so blah. Just blah. Now I know that Lent's not supposed to be some super happy, jubilant time of the year. I know that, but I'm not usually this just kind of down, melancholy. I think part of it is, I don't know what all of it is, but I think part of it is that for the past 2 months, every day when I show up here on campus, when our staff shows up on here on campus, we park in the parking lot. And when I park in the parking lot, I then walk across the parking lot to my office, and I have to walk by this burned out shell of our sanctuary. And this building, this space that was once beautiful, now isn't. And it's like this dark cloud hanging over. There's these black charred timbers, and the smell, it smells so bad. It's depressing. It really is like this dark cloud hanging over. And walking up and seeing that every day gets really old really fast. So I am ready for today. I'm ready for some good news. Are you ready for some good news? Yeah. Well, let's just jump straight into the good news then. We have an incredible story to tell, to proclaim to the world, and it's found in John chapter 20, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, that never gets old. Can you do that for me? That never gets old. Here in the Easter story, that never gets old. Now, notice that when John begins telling us his narrative of the first Easter, he makes sure that we know that Mary came to the tomb while it was still dark. Did you notice that when we read through it the first time? John goes out of his way to make sure we know that when Mary came to the tomb, she came while it was still dark. Now, obviously, it was really early in the morning. The sun hadn't fully arisen yet, and so it's not bright outside. But we know enough about the Gospel of John to know that whenever John gives us a detail like this, it goes deeper. That's never, there's always more to it. It's not just physically dark when Mary comes to the tomb. It's also figuratively dark. There is this cloud of darkness. There's this cloud of despair. It's depressing. It's more than just blah, because Mary and the other disciples are mourning. They're grieving. They've been in agony since they watched their master and teacher viciously and cruelly crucified. They watched as his body, his lifeless body, was taken down off the cross and he was quickly placed in a tomb. And so, yes, when Mary comes to the tomb before the sun comes up, it is physically dark. But it's more than that. She also comes to the tomb on that first Easter Sunday morning under this dark veil of grief. There's not just grief, it's disappointment. It's despair. She had so many hopes for Jesus, but after Friday, those hopes were dashed. Here's the only reason I point that out. I know that some of you came here this morning while it was still dark. And I know the sun's been up for a while. But I know that there are people who are gathered in this space this morning who came here with more than just the blahs. Some of you are struggling with grief, with disappointment, with despair. Some people came here this morning hurting and hungry. Some came wishing and wanting. Some of you came while it was still dark. I have friends for whom this Easter is their first one without someone they love. I have friends whose families are gathering this Sunday morning for the first time, for their first Easter, without the whole family being able to gather, either because of death or divorce. There's darkness. I have friends whose darkness came in the form of a diagnosis. And it doesn't look good. So I just want you to know that if you came here this morning and it still feels dark, you're not alone. That's how Mary came to the tomb that first Easter Sunday morning, while it was still dark. And Lord have mercy, Jesus certainly knows about the darkness. Can you imagine what it was like for him the days just prior to that first Easter? There was lots of darkness. He suffered. He bled. He was betrayed. He was denied by his closest friends. He was abandoned. And then he was cruelly hanged on a cross. So Jesus knows all about the darkness. Jesus knows all about disappointment and despair. Jesus is very familiar with suffering and pain. He's been there and he's done that. So Mary came to the tomb while it was still dark, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, dark. But when she got there, there was good news. Thank God for good news. Amen. See, sometimes you have to go through the darkness to get to the dawn. Sometimes you have to go through disappointment to get to your destination. Sometimes you have to go through pain to get to the promise. And on Easter, we're reminded that you have to endure death in order to enjoy resurrection. But make no mistake, on the other side of the darkness, there is good news. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is good news. So Mary gets to the tomb and she sees that God has done something brand new. The stone that had been rolled in front of Jesus' tomb had been rolled away. And once she sees it, she takes off. She runs back to Peter and to the other disciples. And she's got this news. Hey, the tomb is empty. The stone's been rolled away. And as soon as she delivers this message, the disciples take off running. There's all kinds of commotion going on. Did you notice the foot race between Peter and John as they tried to make their way to the tomb? John is sure to point out that he was faster than Peter. Did you notice that? He got to the tomb. They got to the tomb. They saw that it was just as Mary had said, the stone had been rolled away. And they go in to find that there is no Jesus. He's not there. He's gone. The tomb is empty. Well, it's empty except for those linen wrappings. Did you notice those linen wrappings when we read the story this morning? John makes sure we know about the linen wrappings. This is what he said in verse 6. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Now, those are some interesting details to include, right? Because we've got the greatest good news of all time, and you would think that John would be focused on that, but he takes time to make sure we know that inside that tomb, there was nothing except these linen wrappings. And they're neatly placed. One is rolled up, put in a spot by itself. What is going on with these linen wrappings? This week at staff meeting, one of our staff members, we read this passage, one of our staff members said, you know, I'm not a biblical scholar, but it seems like there must be something up with these linen wrappings. What is the significance? And my immediate response was, you know, around this time of year, every year, there is an email forward that makes the rounds. Maybe some of you have received it this year. It's called, He Folded the Napkin. And in that email, it is argued that there, in Jesus' day, was a custom, a Jewish custom, where a master would let his servants know whether or not he was finished eating or whether he was coming back to the table by the way he left his napkin. If he tossed it to the side, then he was finished. He wasn't coming back. But if he folded his napkin, he was not finished and he was going to return. And so the email goes that the hidden message in these linen wrappings, and particularly in that face cloth or that napkin that was on Jesus' head that was neatly rolled or folded, the message, according to the email, is that Jesus is coming back. He's not finished. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? It'd be better if it were true. That's not why the linen cloths are important, because that wasn't a custom in Jesus' day. That's not why it was important, but they are important. John goes out of his way to make sure we know about those linen wrappings. And that's because they're important. First of all, they're important because if the body had been stolen from the tomb, as the Romans will eventually say, they're going to say, because they don't want this word getting out that they weren't successful in their attempt to execute Jesus. They don't want the word getting out and traveling that this man who was once dead is now alive. And so they say that Jesus' body was stolen. But if you're a grave robber and you're coming in the middle of the night under the cover of darkness to steal a body from the grave, you don't take time to unwrap the body and lay the linen wrappings neatly. You don't take time to take the cloth and fold it up, roll it up and put it in a spot by itself. You don't take time to do that. So the linen wrappings are a clue that this is no grave robbery. This is something different. And secondly, and more importantly, when we hear this about the linen wrappings, we hear a link between these grave clothes and something that happens earlier in the Gospel of John. Now, just a little context. In the Gospel of John, Jesus performs 7 miracles. John doesn't call them miracles, he calls them signs, and he numbers them because the number is important to John. Jesus performs 1 sign for every day of creation. And John is always pointing out these connections between what's happening in Jesus and what happened back at the beginning of time with creation. And so He even begins the gospel with the words of Genesis, the words of the creation story. The Gospel of John starts in the beginning. We've heard those words before. In the beginning, John says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything that was created through Him. So John's given us a clue that whatever's happening in Jesus has to do with creation. And then for every sign that Jesus did, there's a sign for each day of the old creation. There's, as I said, John numbers the signs. The first one is he turns water into wine at a wedding at Cana of Galilee. The second is that he heals a royal official's son. Then he heals a paralytic man in Bethesda. After that, he feeds 5,000 people with just two fish and five loaves of bread. He walks on water. He heals a man who's been blind since birth. And then finally, number seven, Jesus raises his good friend Lazarus from the dead. And that last sign I want to spend just a moment talking about. Because in this sign, I think we're going to see the link back to Jesus' linen wrappings in the tomb. When John tells us the story of Lazarus, he tells us that Jesus gets word that Lazarus is gravely ill, that he's on the verge of death. But by the time Jesus gets to be with the family, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He missed the funeral altogether. And Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, come out to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, if you had just been here. If you'd just been here, our brother wouldn't have died. If you'd just been here, you could have stopped this from happening." And they are consumed by the darkness of their grief. And when Jesus is confronted with that darkness, he's moved to tears. He gets angry at how they have been victimized by death and the powers of darkness. And so he goes to Lazarus's tomb and he tells those who were gathered there, "Roll that stone away." And they try to argue with him. "Jesus, you don't want to do that. But it's been 4 days. It is not going to smell good if we open up that tomb. You don't want to roll that stone back." But Jesus doesn't listen to him. He says, "Roll the stone away." And once the stone has been rolled away, Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And it's a good thing that Jesus specified Lazarus to come forth. Because if he hadn't, that word that spoke the world into existence, that word that said, "Let there be light," and there was light, that same powerful word, if he hadn't specified Lazarus, then all the graves might have opened up. But he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And at that, Lazarus stumbles out of that dark tomb. Lazarus staggers out of the darkness. Here's how John said it in verse 44 of chapter 11. "The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth." See, Lazarus was buried in linen wrappings too. And when Jesus called him out of the tomb, he was still all tangled up in those linen wrappings. I mean, Lazarus was alive, but he was still bound by the trappings of death. He was so tangled up that Jesus had to say to the bystanders, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but that wasn't resurrection. That was resuscitation. Jesus performed SPR on Lazarus. That's seriously powerful resuscitation. I'm glad you laughed at that because I made that up and I was worried about it. And Jesus performed seriously powerful resuscitation. And it was certainly dramatic because Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. But it wasn't new. Resuscitation isn't new. Resuscitation happens all the time at Greenville Memorial or St. Francis. Somebody dies and They call code blue and nurses and doctors come running and they pull out the paddles. And that sometimes that person who died is brought back to life. Well, Lazarus is alive. And when he came out of the tomb, though, he's still wrapped up. He's still tangled up in these linen wrappings. And that tells us that he is still bound by the powers of death. And that makes sense because he's not still alive today. You can't go to Israel today and talk to Lazarus of Bethany. We don't know how long it took. But eventually, Lazarus died again. We'll compare that to what the disciples discover in Jesus' tomb. They get to the tomb, the stone's been rolled away, Jesus is long gone, but the linen wrappings are still lying there. They're still neat and orderly. In fact, the face cloth has been rolled up and put in its own spot. This isn't resuscitation. This is resurrection. This is something brand new, the likes of which had never happened before and hasn't happened since, but will happen again one day. Jesus has completely shed the trappings of death. He even took time to roll up the cloth. This isn't a partial victory. Jesus not only defeated death, he put death's trappings in their place. Now, that folded napkin email might not have been true, but Jesus is sending us a message with these linen wrappings. And that message is, this tomb can't hold me. Death can't stop me. I am alive and I will be alive forevermore. Never to die again. See, on Friday, that's the sixth day of creation, by the way. On Friday, from the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And on Saturday, the seventh day, the Sabbath day, Jesus rested in the sleep of death. But on Sunday, something brand new. On Sunday, there was the first day of the new week. There was a new creation. Mary might have come to the tomb that morning while it was still dark, but it didn't stay dark for long. The stone was rolled away. God made a way where there was no way. Darkness is overcome by light. Despair is overcome by hope. And death is swallowed up in life. Amen? Y'all don't sound too excited about this. Jesus didn't say, "I'm the resuscitation and the life." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And behold, I'm making all things brand spanking new." It's Easter, y'all. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Yeah. That never gets old.